This is Ozarks at Large. The play Grounded by George Brandt had a rolling world premiere in 2014. The one-woman show centers on a female fighter pilot whose unexpected pregnancy puts her military career on hold. After returning from maternity leave, her new assignment is to pilot drone aircraft in remote conflict zones. But the play is more about just the main character's change in jobs. Arkansas Stage will present Grounded Sunday, Mother's Day, at 21C Museum Hotel in Bentonville. This week, Laura Shatkus, Artistic Director of Arkansas Stage, and Misha Hutchings, who will perform the role of the pilot in the play, sat down with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF to talk about the play and to give us a short preview. Their conversation began with a discussion of the meaning behind the play's title.
Grounded refers to the fact that she no longer is able to fly F-16s anymore because, at first, because she's pregnant, and then later, because she's just reassigned when she goes back to work and she gets reassigned to be a drone pilot and is thusly grounded. And her relationship to that is not a positive one, which we will hear in the little selection that we're going to read. She feels disassociated from those that she's fighting and the work that she's doing because she's just sitting in a little room and watching people on a camera as opposed to actually flying a giant $19 million plane.
This play seems to have two main themes. Let's talk about one of them and then the other. The first one that I see from what little I've read about it is the idea of wartime pilots no longer being in a plane, being in front of a computer screen thousands of miles away. How does this play broach that topic, you know, in terms of a discussion about ethics and how they kind of impact us?
I think that's a great question, and the play explores her relationship to being on leave is no longer a thing anymore. So she goes to work, she kills terrorists, and then she comes home. And that does something to the human psyche, as opposed to creating a military machine that can go to work for months at a time and then comes home for months at a time.
Laura is right when she's talking about the mechanization that the military has their personnel kind of sink into because they have to have, everyone has to work, no questions asked for the most part, in a very tight way for things to work. My boyfriend actually is in the military and is the first person I've ever dated or really known that is military and his family's military. And my idea of any military, it came from movies or TV, and it was very two-dimensional. And, you know, being with him, it's, you know, I always say that there are three people in our relationship, me, him, and the United States Navy, because they do. They kind of infiltrate your life and they become your prime mover. And so to have it where you go in the length of one day, this boss that has control over every aspect of your life back home to where you are your own person, it is completely discongruous with how the system has been set up, which is once you are at your job, downrange is what she says, refers to her job, that you belong to the United States military. And when you are home, you are your own person. And to have that within the confines of one day, it's discongruous to being a normal human being, I think.
In this case, a woman and a mother and a wife. Mm-hmm. And so we explore what that means for her as well, to be the nurturing caretaker of a child. And then, you know, what does that mean to then go to work and kill people?
I mean, that seems to be another main concern of this work, is the idea of work life balance, you know. How does this play kind of exemplify that, especially considering the type of work the main character does for a living?
I think what we see over the course of the play is a transformation from a person who has a really great work-life balance to a person who no longer knows what to do with it. Now, arguably, at the top of the play, she's single, she's isolated, and she's filled with ego. And at the end of the play, a transformation has occurred. So, yeah, I think that one of the big themes of the play and of this idea of drone pilots is, how do we reconcile this going to work and coming home. It's not the same as going to work as to be an accountant for 12 hours. It's a really different thing, and historically has not been an issue.
Going back to my boyfriend again, when he was deployed, it's so weird because usually in the past, if somebody was deployed, he was in Africa, there was limited communication. But now with, you know, WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, I could talk to him every single day, and it was so discongruous. Like what I was going through in my, you know, daily life, I would say it's hot, and then he's doing things that are very, very dangerous. And having those two worlds together simultaneously, it just does not make any sense at all.
How did you mentally prepare for this play? I mean, how do you mentally prepare to portray someone who is balancing all of these different things in her mind?
Well, you just have to really sit down and go through the script many, many times and think about who this person is, what her values are, why she says the things she does and the way she says them, and really just, you kind of have to sit down and meditate on her a little bit. And I always say the character comes to you. You don't try to grab at it. Mm-hmm. She will appear to you when she wants to appear. And so then by the time you have meditated on that a little bit, she comes quite easily.
So this is a one-woman play. Does that add to the difficulty in presenting it as a staged work, as a staged reading?
I will say rehearsals can be a little draining because usually when you go to rehearsals, you can, you know, tag team in and out with the other characters that are there. But it's only me and Laura and Celeste, our stage manager.
And John Jarman.
And John Jarman, of course, assistant director, working through the text. And so it's a long time to focus and concentrate because this is a pretty dense piece of material here, which is wonderful and great and challenging.
Typically, when we're looking at a scene between two actors or a number of actors, we're looking for what is everyone fighting for and when is the moment in that scene when it gets revealed who wins. Usually it's something not as obvious as like, oh, she wants the broom or something like that. So with this script, we've been looking at what is she fighting for in each little section. The playwright has broken this play down into little sections. So we have a little bit of a guidepost in terms of something happens. The character goes from A to C in this section, and what is it that actually happens? It's just the same as trying to understand Hamlet's to be or not to be. He's by himself on stage. That's a soliloquy. And so you make a choice as an actor and, you know, as an artistic team. In Hamlet or in our pilot's case, is she out to change something about herself? Is she trying to change something, in this case, in the audience? Or is she asking something from God? And so if you look at To Be or Not To Be that way, you can make any choice you want as a director, but it's really kind of only those three things. Same thing with this one. So she's wavering between changing imagery that she's looking at or thinking about and actually changing the audience because it's direct address. And the playwright gives us a note at the top of the play that's very challenging also, which this isn't a one-woman show in the traditional sense, in that she's not an actor. The pilot is not an actor. She's just telling the story. Usually in a one-person show, we, as an actor, or as we're putting together a play, we may come up with a certain gesture or a certain look or a certain voice or even a prop that goes with the character that we're talking about or that we're enacting. And she's just a lady who's telling this story. There's a big revelation at the end as to who she's actually telling the story to, but we'll leave that off for you to come see and find out.
So bottom line, what is the message of this play from your perspective?
I mean, I think that it's that the people that we're fighting against at any time that you go to war are not that different from you and I sitting here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And that, you know, somewhere halfway across the globe are three people sitting at a radio station doing an interview about a play they're doing. And that's sometimes really hard to think about when we think about all the strife and warmongering that's going on, is that, you know, they're actual people that have lives and cook food and have fun and have parties.
That we as individuals do not always represent our government's wishes and actions.
Would you mind giving us a little preview of the play?
Absolutely. I wouldn't mind at all. Here we go.
All right.
And then it's time. 0700, Eric kisses me goodbye. I kiss Sam. I hop in my car and drive downrange. I have a fast car. Surprise. It takes me out of the driveway, out of the suburbs, into the desert. The radio gets fuzzy, go static, and I'm alone. Alone in the desert. An hour of quiet, of static. The bass rises out of the sand. Creech. Some name. Like a monster from a crappy movie. I'm downrange. Downrange after an hour's drive. I'm saluted. The gate rises. I find a space, a parking space. A pilot who needs a parking space. I put on my flight suit. A grounded pilot who wears a flight suit. I report for duty. For training. For retraining. For drones.
That was fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
So, you're essentially a narrator on stage. How do you prepare for that as opposed to acting in a traditional sense?
It's not so much a narrator as it is this actual person really needing to tell her story just so badly that the need for that is she just has to come out and say it. And so, again, it's just knowing who this person is and why it is that she wants to tell this story to us, to the audience, to the people who have shown up that night. And it's just really having a sense of respect for this person and understanding all her different levels and the good, the bad, the ugly, the pretty, all those things.
We were just actually talking about the challenge, the particular challenge of this play is that everything has to feel like it's happening to her in real time. So that little speech we just heard is not a recap, even though it's written in this sort of tense, which she's, if you notice, it's the present tense, I drive downrange. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we grammar nerds can understand that that also implies that it was like a thing she did in the past. So the playwright has very cleverly tensed the verbs as such. And so she must, as the actor, experience it in the present, even though it's a telling, so that we watch someone go through a transformation rather than someone who knows all the answers and is going to just tell us the answer. It's much more exciting that way, to watch her discover things and to watch her be affected by what's happening to her in real time. Yeah. As she tells the story.
And it's not unlike when you're like telling a story at a party and you're talking about something that that happened to you in the past and you're going through it, and like, you know, if you say you got robbed and then this guy came up to me with a gun and da 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 da. And so it's very much alive in the moment, and you're kind of reliving it, but you're also very aware that you're telling a story.
Laura, Misha, thank you so much for spending your time with me this morning.
Thank you so much, Tim.
That was Laura Shatkus, Artistic Director of Arkansas Stage, and Misha Hutchings, who will perform the role of the pilot in the stage reading of Grounded. The performance will take place at 7 p.m. Sunday at 21C Museum Hotel in Bentonville. They spoke with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis earlier this week inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF.